The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hi, welcome along once again to the Corian FC podcast with myself, Damien Mullen, and my co-host, Jonathan McNabb. And before we start, first of all, as ever, we would like to thank our kind sponsors, the Lodge Hotel Corian, for their generous sponsorship of the podcast. And I know it seems an awful long way away, but one of their particular days is for Boxing Day this year. Would you believe the hotel is already fully booked for Christmas Day, but you can join them on Boxing Day and help to continue the festive season with a four-course carvery lunch in the Allen Suite, extensive hot and cold buffet, dessert, the whole works. So check it out. Christmas brochure is now available online at thelodgehotel.com. So check it out. Johnny, me and you could go there on Boxing Day maybe before the derby or after the derby. What do you think?
Damien, I eat that much at Christmas time. The thought of even chatting about food would probably turn my stomach. But listen, if the Lodge is sold out for Christmas Day, there's going to be no doubt that it's going to be sold out for Boxing Day too. So, yeah, no, Carvery is never too bad there. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll be fully booked.
But you're an athlete anyway, Johnny. You wouldn't eat too much.
Aye, so you say, Damien. So you say.
Anyway, talking of athletes, we have one on their podcast this week, a special guest this week. And Johnny and I are delighted to welcome young Jake Wallace to the podcast. Jake, how are we this very fine day?
Yes, no, I'm all good, thanks. Very glad to be here and thanks for having me. So
you're more than welcome. It's lovely to get a catch up with you. And I suppose we must start. Like you came back. You're originally from the North Coast, as most people probably are aware. Maybe some aren't, but you joined the club in the summertime. But I suppose it's fair to say, Jack, it's been a frustrating start to your Corian career. Can you just tell us how it's felt? Because you had to wait for international clearance coming through, and that set you back. How frustrating has it been?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Obviously, you want to be in from the start and have everything sorted. But unfortunately, it's out of our hands. There's not much we could do apart from play the waiting game. Corian had done everything they needed to do. However, things just didn't fall as nicely as we wanted. And like you say, it was very frustrating. Obviously, having to sit on the sideline a couple of weeks and just watch. Obviously, they're still training hard and working away. And just waiting until I could get some minutes on the pitch. However, it's all through now, thankfully. And I'm back playing, so that's always good.
Did it make it more frustrating, Jake, insofar as that you featured quite heavily in the pre-season games and the friendlies before the season actually started, and you were doing very well and you were holding down a position, and you probably would have been in a good position to start the season competitively in the team? And then you had to sit and wait for international clearance, which seems rather bizarre because you were just playing in England. It's not like you were playing on the far side of the world. But how frustrating, did it make it more frustrating that you were playing in pre-season and then you had to stop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like you say, well, it was because nearly playing every week, do you know what I mean? Having so many games and going from that into completely nothing, kind of stop-start. And like you say, you want to be in from the start and try and cement your place in the team and the squad. And you lose a week or two, do you know what I mean, by sitting on the sideline and other boys playing, getting more minutes and catching up on you kind of thing. So it wasn't helpful in that sense. But like I said, there was nothing much we could do about it. I had a good pre-season, worked hard myself, and I worked hard whenever I wasn't playing to keep myself in top shape to make sure I was ready for my chance. So
yeah, and the competitive nature of sport and football is, for example, if you don't get chance to play, somebody else comes along and takes that opportunity, and now you have to sit and almost wait on your opportunity again, don't you? Which is frustrating, but I guess it just makes you more determined when you get your chance again.
Yes, exactly. That's what football's all about, taking your chances. And that's what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm confident in my own ability, and I'm looking forward to playing for the team in front of the big crowds at the showgrounds. So no, it's something that I'm still working hard towards, and even in my own time off, putting in extra work to make sure that I'm ready for whenever that opportunity comes.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, you can only imagine Jack's frustration there. You know, you come home from England in the summer, you sign for your local club, you hit the ground running, and then all of a sudden it's just you're forced to wait and stop by some forces outside your control. But I think, Johnny, you've probably watched most of the preseason games, and you've probably seen enough from Jack to know that he'll be a huge asset when he does get a run in the game and run in the team.
Yeah, it's probably really frustrating because, as Jake alluded to, there was out of his control. There's nothing they could do. And I suppose when you think about it, there's, I think, how many transfers are between the FA and the other leagues around not only, obviously, Britain, but across the world. So Jake was probably on a list of about thousands and thousands of transfers. It just was one of them things he just unfortunately had to wait. But yeah, the other way you have to look at it is he came in pre-season and went on off there on a contract. So I'm sure if you'd offered Jake the time the transfer window's closed at a contract, you'd have taken it regardless. So I think Oren's no dozer, and he doesn't sign anyone for the sake of it, obviously. So he's seen enough from Drake or Jake in pre-season. So time will tell. But yeah, it's one of them. It's just one of them that's just international clearance. It's one of them where I think if you're like saying what's happening, and you know, and there's nobody to blame at all.
You know, you're back in Ireland, back in Northern Ireland with Corian. For those who maybe aren't aware of your past as such, maybe explain a little bit where you started playing football. You obviously started here locally, but maybe just recap for people who aren't aware of your own background, where you began football.
No worries, no, because it's actually from my sixth birthday. In 2010, I joined the academy at Corian, down at university. We were playing every Saturday and stuff. It was good. I enjoyed that, and that got me into it in a big way. And I was there for 5 years, and I had a great time, really enjoyed it. Made a lot of friends, boys that I still talk to, and Patrick Kelly was one of them. We played together for 3 or 4 years in the academy, and then we split off and ended up going up to Glentoran. Belfast, and I was there from 11, 12 up until I went across the water to Fleetwood. So I was there for a good 5 years or so. And our team up there, we were very good now. But we went, I think it was 3 years unbeaten at a stage, and we had won every trophy there was to win for us. And a lot of our team ended up making moves across the water, which was good. And then obviously once I went across the water, I went to Fleetwood. And I signed a 2-year scholarship there. And it was difficult around that time as well, because whenever it was in 2020 when I signed, obviously with COVID and all happening, it was a bit later. I ended up signing in October. But as soon as I signed, the weekend I went over to sign, the team actually, their game was called off. So everybody got the weekend off. A few boys went home and stuff. And they were all meant to come back on Sunday night. And 4 of the boys had got COVID then, so they were given 2 weeks off, told to stay home. So I just had to isolate in the digs by myself that Fleetwood had put me up in for 2 weeks. And coming towards the end of them 2 weeks, I ended up getting COVID myself. So I had to isolate for a further 2 weeks. So again, that was an even more frustrating start than life at Corian, having to sit by myself for 4 weeks nearly. But no, Fleetwood then, so I had the other 2 years. First year did really well, and we ended up winning our league. We had a really good team that year, to be fair. And then the second year, we had a bad, bad struggle with a lot of injuries, a lot of serious injuries. We had a leg break, but a couple of boys even had to have surgery. There was a meniscus tear, shoulder dislocation, and I even ended up doing my ACL. I was out for nearly a full year. But thankfully, shortly after I'd just done my knee, the club had offered me a year extension to help me complete my rehab and get back to full fitness and get back to playing. So that was a killer for me. Took me That was September 2021, and I didn't get back until September 2022. And then coming, so it was whenever I came back in September 2022, there was about, I think, 7 months or so left in my contract. And I started really well. Went out on loan over in England to a non-league side called Colne. Enjoyed my time there, played about 10 games, did quite well, to be honest. First insight to men's football properly. And then I came back after Christmas hoping to get in around the first team, get playing, get training, and then ended up doing ligaments in my ankle and training. So that wasn't ideal either. And that's after that, then I spoke to the coaches and everything at Fleetwood, and they just kind of said to me, it's not looking great for you at this moment in time, kind of thing. They needed to see more of me play. So it was good to know from early and just kind of have my mindset and know what was happening, that I could kind of be looking elsewhere, get conversations in. But no, I used all the facilities over at Fleetwood to my full advantage and worked hard every day and made sure I came back stronger than I was when I left. So, yeah.
I think, Jake, you must be in the running for like one of the most unluckiest footballers.
Somewhere up there.
Between ACL, ankle, international clearance, I mean, I guess all you want, I'm imagining, is a run of games with no hiccups. Just get me on that field and give me a period of 10, 15 games without hindrance. I guess that's just what you want now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what every footballer wants, to be fair. But like you say, it's been a while since I've had that myself, so it would be nice.
I guess, you know, all those are setbacks, they're hindrances, they're not ideal. I guess the only good thing in your favour is that you're still relatively young. I think 19, Jake, are you?
Yeah, 19. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so bad as it is, you know, one hopes that you still have a good lengthy career ahead of you. You're only 19, so you can get yourself back on track, as it were. I mean, Johnny, listening to Jake's story there, it's just one thing after another, isn't it? ACL, ankle ligaments, COVID, international clearance. It's just, you couldn't make it up, some of it.
No, I know. There'll be a Netflix documentary on that, I think, or something coming out soon. No, it's been, anytime you seem to join a club, it's, it always seems to just always have a difficult start. So, no, your luck's definitely due to change. So, yeah, probably having those things near enough would test you as a person, even that young. So, I'm sure whilst you're only, what, 19, 20, I'm sure what you've learned and what you've been through is probably, you know, beyond your years, I suppose. It'd be very, very easy to give up and think, what the hell's going on? So they still be about and still mostly have a smile on your face. It's definitely a credit to your character.
And I suppose in many ways, Jack, coming through adversity, like we've talked to other footballers on this podcast, and they've had serious injuries, and they all say the same thing, that having gone through things like that makes you come back stronger, hungrier, more determined. And I'm sure that's probably the same in your case.
Yes, no, of course. Especially whenever I was over at Fleetwood and doing the rehab and everything every day, being in and around the environment, it's good to be in and around the team, but being in every day and seeing your mates go out and play football every day, it's not nice, you know what I mean? So whenever you come back, and even small milestones, even the first day you're out in the grass doing a light bit of jogging is a big step in the right direction and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? Then you're building up your speed, then you're changing direction, getting in touch with the ball. And it's all brilliant, do you know what I mean? And then once you're back in your first full session, it's brilliant, and there's a smile on your face the whole time, and it kind of reminds you why you play the game and why you love the game so much. But no, the physio that I had at Fleetwood was brilliant with me as well. And so it was a big part in my rehab on both injuries. So,
and I guess, you know, even now at Corian, there are players, teammates there that have come through adversity. I'm thinking of the likes of Lyndon, you know, who's come through 2-3 serious injuries. So I guess, you know, if you wanted to talk to somebody within the team or the squad, somebody like a Lyndon, who has been there and done it at a sort of young age himself, he would be the ideal person. If you needed any advice or any comfort, he would be a player that you could go to and have a talk to.
Yeah, you could probably talk to any of the lads within the changing room, to be honest. Because there's even a few other boys who've done their ACL similar to me, and you could talk to them about path and stuff. But like you say, Lennon, he's had a few serious ones himself, and he's an open book. You can go and chat to him about anything. Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of guy he is. So,
and how have you found the guys? Because as I say, you're originally from the North Coast. You know, you were at the academy at Corian. You probably went and watched Corian as a youngster, and now you're in the squad with the guys. I mean, how have you found them all? And is it a good squad for somebody like yourself to come into?
Yeah, it's brilliant, and it's strange seeing a few faces that I would have watched when I was younger. Boys like Stevie Lowry, do you know what I mean? Still being around and to play with him and the experience he has, it's very valuable. But no, the lads have been brilliant, welcoming me straight away, and always making sure that I feel part of the squad, and always laughing and joking with me. And I get on well with a lot of them, to be honest. So that's good.
I mean, Johnny, I can imagine, like, it must be nerve-wracking for a young fella to come into like a squad of, like, you know, Jake's still young, a young man at 19, and as he said, you know, he's going into a squad with somebody like Stephen Lowry that he's watched maybe from the terraces, and all of a sudden you're in the same changing room. There must be a little bit where you're a bit daunted by that scenario. It's a bit like you coming into the Chronicle probably when I was working there.
As well, saying you're laughing at that one, David.
I can't do anything but laugh. Yes, go ahead.
No, I think, yeah, that's a very, very valid point. And, you know, sometimes even myself, you know, I get, you know, yourself, I'm sure you get done that nearly sometimes interviewing a manager that you don't really know. Whereas we're sort of lucky that we're close to most of the people at Corian. So, no, yeah, I get that. I think, which probably helps in Jake's favour that he knows a lot of the local lads anyway. And I'm sure when he started training, I think PK would have probably come in a few times as well over the summer. He probably knows Big Sam. And then he would have known, you know, obviously, like London. I'm sure he would have known of Adam and guys like that. So, and then all the young boys that are coming through, like Luca and Corey and boys like that. So it definitely all helped. But again, it's Oren always tells us that he signs good people and good players. So I'm sure they were more than welcome to Jake. And I'm sure it was a long month for him before he finally got his contract. And I'm sure a few of the guys were chatting to him and telling him to keep his head up and things like that. So, no, listen, there's no I in team, and I'm sure they all would have rallied around him.
I'm just thinking, you know, Johnny mentioned PK there, Jake, and you have international representation with Northern Ireland at under 19 and that. And you mentioned PK being in the same academy team, and Johnny mentioned Sam McClelland, and you know, they're on the various Northern Ireland teams and squads at the moment. And I know it's very early days, you know, you need to get playing and you need to get yourself settled and sort of into the team. But I'm just thinking, you know, long-term ambition, is that getting back to representative honours at Northern Ireland at some level? Is that the long-term ambition again?
Yes, no, of course, playing for your country, that's what every footballer wants, to represent your country is an honour. And you look at even that under-21 squad that PK and Sam are currently away with, there are a few players from the Irish League, do you know what I mean, that are all eligible, and I would be eligible too. They're maybe a couple of years older than me, but they've shown that there is a pathway from the Irish League, do you know what I mean? It's not always they're looking at players from England. So no, like, it's something that I had actually thought about, obviously coming back over here and playing men's football, and if I hit the ground running and things fall how I would like it, it's something that would be a big chance now. So
And you're with the club at the moment, you were probably in full-time football across the water. Obviously everybody knows the potential investment here at Corian. It's been talked about, and the Friends have given it the green light to proceed. It may take some time. For you personally, I mean, I don't know your situation at the moment, whether you're full-time, part-time with Corian or not, but there's a lot of talk about Corian going the full-time model and stuff. And would that suit you in terms of where you want to see yourself as a footballer? Could you stay full-time at Corian, or do you have ambitions to go back across the water again, Jake?
Well, I think every player, especially my age, there's still time to go back across the water. Do you know what I mean? Because I am still so young, and even look at players like Conor McManaman. Do you know what I mean? He's a fair few years older than me now, and he's got his move, and rightly so. But no, I think the full time scene would suit not just me, but everybody at Corian, especially to push on and be even better and challenge for everything. Do you know what I mean? Everything there is to win, to compete with all the other full time clubs within the league. And that seems to be as the direction that the Irish League is taking on. It's brilliant to see. So,
I mean, as I say, you have experience with the full-time model across the water. You see the teams, some of the clubs in Northern Ireland, they're full-time. Do you think for Corian to continue competing for trophies and success that almost that they have to go full-time to try and compete?
Yes, I think they do, to be fair. Like you say, to keep competing and even compete even more, and bring in all players who are committed to the team and the game 100%. Don't get me wrong, everybody in the club is, but it's hard trying to juggle your daily life and your daily job with the football side of things as well, because you know yourself, you can go and have a day at work 9 to 5 where you could be absolutely wrecked, and then you're coming down to training, or even on a Friday, whenever we have Friday night games, players could do a full day work, and it's not ideal. However, say you have a game on the Friday and you've sat, you've prepared, and you're relaxed for the game, and then you come on down and you're more comfortable that way. Do you know what I mean? You're better prepared. So little things like that, and even getting around each other every day, getting to know your players even more. And things will start to click even better then.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, we've had various guests on, and some from a full-time model, you know, and some from a part-time. But listening to Jake there, you can see where the club kind of wants to go, or kind of almost needs to go. I know there's an argument for and against going full-time, et cetera, et cetera. But listening to a young footballer like Jake, who understands the importance of going full-time, if you want to try and compete for every trophy with the likes of Alarne, Linfield, the Glen Torns, it's interesting what he says, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. And I think nobody would argue that. I think that's just the way the league's progressing and then going. And you know, you look at, you know, clubs at Carrick are now looking, they've obviously got investment, and you know, and I'm probably expecting others to probably try and get outside investment too. I think the league has vastly improved in the last, you know, we had Adam Mullen in last week's podcast, and he was saying the exact same, where how the league, even in his time, has just completely evolved, and I think it's going to be the same here. And you know, if you don't go full time, or you know, or even the hybrid model within the next 5 years, are you going to compete at all? So those are all questions and answers that probably a lot of clubs or a few clubs just don't have at this moment in time. And at the end of the day, and it's a bit like life. You wouldn't have this problem, Damien, but it all comes down to money. So we'll have to see just what happens. But I think, you know, we've got a nucleus of quite a youngish squad, which probably would help us to go full time. I think if you were to look at our squad, I'd say the majority of them could probably make a full time or hybrid role happen. So, but that I'll leave that to Oran and Colin, the guys who have a bit more sense than me to sort it out.
I guess it stands to reason, Jake, doesn't it, that, you know, at the moment, Corian are maybe training 2 maybe times a week collectively, and then players are doing their own bits on the side extra. But I guess it does stand to reason, if you're like as a group maybe training 4 or 5 days of the week, and you're able to do physicality training, you can do match preparation, you're eating properly. I mean, it does stand to reason. You've seen it in Fleetwood in a professional capacity. It stands to reason you're going to get an extra 5, 10, 20% out of players, aren't you?
Yeah, no, of course. Them extra hours and extra minutes that you get with each other and with the staff are so valuable. And like you say, you can work on things within the team, set pieces, little tweaks, even doing things such as video analysis, looking back on Saturday's performance, looking ahead to Saturday and maybe looking at the opposition, stuff like that, things you can work on in training then. Because like you say, with working two times a week, it's all about getting distance into our legs and trying to do nearly as much as what the other teams are doing within a week. But there's also boys coming big lengths to training and they need to go home, so we can't arrive however early and do a gym session, then train, do analysis, eat. So unfortunately we can't do that at this moment in time, but like we say, going into the full time setup, it gives you the chance to do all of that.
And I guess you did pick up good habits from your time across the water too, things that you probably continue to do today to try and give you an extra edge.
Yeah, no, 100%. Going over there, I always try to look after myself, but you learn a lot. And one of the things that I've learned a lot about is the gym work. Do you know what I mean? And I like to keep myself in good shape, and a lot of exercises and what I need to do and when to do it, and things to do maybe before matches, and just kind of my own routine, what I like to do, and the eating side of it all as well is a big part. And if you're going to be working hard in the gym, you've got to make sure that you're eating right too, so it doesn't all just go to waste.
And tell us, what was like Fleetwood, you went there, you must have been young, like if you're only 19 now, you're obviously a lot younger when you went across the water. I'm just thinking, we always talk to guests on here, and many of them have gone across to England at a young age and gone and living in digs and stuff. And there's no doubting, Jake, that it is it's an upheaval, isn't it? Because I know you know you're close to your family here, and then you have to leave them behind and you go and start what's pretty much a new life over there. I mean, how was it? It was just interesting, just from your point of view. You have to grow up quickly or what?
Yeah, you do. Don't get me wrong, it's hard for any young lad to leave home at that age. But I think I was more than ready. I'd been away a fair amount of times from even younger, the likes of 13, going away with Northern Ireland on trips for a week, 2 weeks or whatever it may be, going on trials and stuff like that. And my family and my parents, they do a lot for me, and they know it's what I want. So they're full support from them, and saying goodbye to them whenever I was going over, it was difficult. It's never easy. And even whenever they were coming over sometimes to see me, maybe for a weekend or whatever, it never gets easier saying goodbye. But the good thing is, especially with technology these days, I could call them every night, FaceTime them or whatever, and you can nearly live life through your phone. Don't get me wrong, being in person is a lot better, but that definitely helped. And the way the digs actually worked over at Fleetwood, which I would say helped, especially for my first year, was they put the whole team into a hotel kind of that they had bought over. So there was a family downstairs that looked after us, looked after all the lads. So the whole under 18s team was in there, as well as a few of the reserve players that maybe lived afar. And whenever I signed, I actually was sharing a room with Harry Wilson, another lad from Northern Ireland. He's from Hollywood up in Belfast, and me and him played at Glentoran together. So whenever I moved over, I had him there, and me and him were sharing a room, so that really helped me a lot.
Do you know what? I couldn't see when I look back when I was 16 or 17. There's no way I would have been able to behave and look after myself properly. Like, but then that's why you're a footballer, and I'm not. Who was the manager of Fleetwood then? Was that pre-Scott Brown time or
did yeah, whenever I joined, it was actually Joey Barton. I didn't get to see too much of him because, like I said, I joined in October and he ended up leaving in January. And then we had an interim manager. Then it was Simon Grayson. Then he left.
Ex-Leeds boss.
Mm-hmm. He left then. And then we got Scott Brown after that. So, and then obviously Scott Brown's just now recently been sacked and they've got Pete Johnson. So, there were definitely a few characters there. I think I would have liked to see Joey Barton more because, especially around the time with COVID now being around, we didn't get the mix much with the first team and didn't see him about too often. But Scott Brown was definitely a character. So,
he would be one of Johnny's favourites.
Oh, me and Scott, big mates. Hey, love him. Love him.
But I mean, those are like high profile figures within the world of football, aren't they? Like Joey Barton, Scott Brown, who else did you say? Simon Grayson, Lee Johnson. I guess it gives you an idea, just, you know, Fleetwood, the big club, really, isn't it? You know, when you look at those names.
Mm-hmm. No, and the facilities is one thing that turned my head, especially for League One and Category 3, which they were at the time, but they're now a Category 2 academy. They're brilliant. They're the best in League One by a country mile, and they're probably better than a lot of championship clubs. The way they have it all set out and organised, and the chairman had put a lot of money and time into it. And like you say, it attracts a lot of players, and it attracts managers and staff. And like you say, there's a few big names there, and it's good for them, players like Scott Brown and stuff, to come and start the managerial career. And even Joey Barton, that's where he started too. Joey Barton especially did quite well with Fleetwood, so it's definitely a big factor for them.
And the place itself, it's Lancashire direction, I think. It's seaside-y town, isn't it? So I mean,
yeah,
not dissimilar to Portrush and Portstewart, where you sort of grew up, you know. So I'm sure that was quite comforting for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's always nice being by the sea wherever I go. Because where we were actually staying, our digs, they were based in Blackpool, which is 10 minutes down the road from our training facilities. And it was always nice over the summers and stuff, whenever the weather was quite nice, coming towards the end of the season or during pre-season, and we could nip down the prom, and we could go down the piers and stuff. It was always nice just to give us something to do. So no, that was also nice and helped me settle in. So,
It sounds like a home from home, but you know, without running too much to Fleetwood, but I guess given what we're saying about them and the setup that they have and the profile that they have as well, you know, the right manager there, it's a bit of a potentially a sleeping giant. If the right manager does things right, they've got potential to become a biggish club.
Yeah, they could, because even a couple of years ago, it was actually the season just before I joined, they had made the playoffs and Wickham beat them in the semi-final, and then Wickham went on to win it and got promoted up into the championship. But since that season, just the things haven't seemed to fall in place for them. But no, like you say, and it's always that tight in the lower leagues, League One, League Two, even the championship. You look at even Luton last year, people wouldn't have given them a sniff, but things start to click and fall into place, and next thing you know, they're in the Premier League. So you just need a bit of luck as well and a good run, and things can fall quite kindly for you.
And you mentioned earlier in the podcast about men's football, and I guess that's key, isn't it, for you? I mean, you went across there, and unfortunately, circumstances prevented you maybe getting as many games as you wanted, but now you're here. And the important thing from your perspective is to get playing in a men's league, because there's a vast difference between underage or reserve football even and playing competitively at a senior level, even in the Irish League.
Exactly. It's something that I wanted to do, just come and play men's football and get the experience. And like you say, get a run of games under my belt. Because playing academy football and reserve football, it's especially reserve football, so it's a bit false in the sense of last year, even at Fleetwood, whenever I was playing reserve football, the starting 11 was very rarely ever the same 2 weeks in a row, because of first team players dropping down to get minutes or boys coming back from injury. So you never really got a full run. Sometimes you're playing against teams where maybe they were playing their under 18s, maybe they were playing nearly a full strength squad with 5-6 first teamers dropping down, so you never really got a true insight, or if it were a fair fixture kind of. But like I said, I loved my time on loan last year in the men's football, and that's where there was a proper setup, a starting 11 that was playing each week. You grew relationships with your players, so the back line, your midfielders, attackers, whatever. And especially talking about wanting to get back in the international setup and everything, you look at players like PK who have done it, do you know what I mean? So it goes to show you that it's possible and it's there, and that was a big factor for me. And even players who've made the move recently, like Sean Murrett at Cliftonville. So it was a big factor for me coming home and playing men's football.
Johnny, I suppose what Jake is saying there, you know, we talk about the change of the face of the Irish League in terms of the money and the investment and everything else. But it's important what Jake's saying. The number of players now that are making the move across, you've got, you know, as Jake said, PK, Sean Moore, Conor McManaman in his mid-20s probably, now starring for Northern Ireland, you know, late in his career. I think, again, it reflects just where the Irish League is and how it's changed. Players now can see a future, full-time future, either playing at home here or across the water, and also international call-ups, like Lee Bonus, for example.
Yeah, Brad Lyons, obviously, too, and guys like that. So I think, you know, obviously, I think if you look at the Euro 2016 squad, you had big Gareth McCauley and Stuart Dallas, and there's probably a few other guys that are, you know, have completely obvious ones that I miss, and obviously you've got Gavin White and guys like that. So I think of how the Irish League is progressing, and it only will progress. I think, you know, hopefully it'll be commonplace in the Northern Ireland squad, say, in, say 10, 15 years, at maybe 4 or 5 in the Irish League are in the squad, rather than maybe 1 or 2 who are playing at their maximum level. So, a very strong Irish League in terms of quality can only help the Northern Ireland national team too. You know, so yeah, Conor McManaman, he probably didn't go over the water until he was, what, 27, 28 there, I think he is. And he's absolutely flying with St Mirren and was probably Northern Ireland's best player over the 2 games there. So, yeah, it just goes to show you that if you work hard and stick at it, you've definitely given yourself the best opportunity to get over the water.
And it's probably fair to say as well, I think, you know, Northern Ireland's couple of games over the international break, finishing 2 defeats, there's a lot of chat in the newspapers and the media about maybe the change in the face of the squad. I think Michael O'Neill is even on record as saying that he's going to look at sort of some of the older players in the squad as to their futures, etc. So it's probably no secret that, you know, the squad as it is ripe for change, and there are opportunities for players to break through. You know, your Brad Lyons, although he didn't get run out, maybe PK in a year or two, even Jake here that we're talking to today. There are opportunities within that Northern Ireland squad that if you do play well at a consistent level, you can get a call-up.
Yeah, correct, Damien. And, you know, I think the squad, you know, we've got the 2 Johnny Evanses there and Stephen Davis, guys like that aren't going to go on forever. So I think maybe, I think the next international window, what is next month in October, I think Northern Ireland have, is it Slovenia and San Marino both at home? And to be fair to Michael, like, the group's gone. There's not much point. You know, you've nothing really to play for other than probably trying to finish as high as you can. And you might as well blood the young guys in and give them minutes, because the games are, other than that, the games are more or less friendlies, let's be perfectly honest. So you might as well try and give the likes of Brad and Paul Smith and other guys a run out and see what they can do. And because they probably can't do any worse, let's be honest, and get a look at a couple of guys as well. And, you know, like Lee Bonus was probably the best striker in the Irish League last year. Why not call him up, give him a game and put him in the shot window, and maybe he can get a move over to England and Scotland and guys. And like Big Sam's been playing well at St Johnstone too. So there's plenty of options there. Michael O'Neill is a smart man. He's no dozer, and I'm sure he'll do what's right for him. But I think as a fan speaking, I think it's a perfect time they bleed a few people in and see what they can do.
And you mentioned, Jake, your regular contact with the likes of the PK and Sam as well. And I mean, what do they say? Do they sort of tell you about how things are going in the setup, in the international setup, or even at their clubs as well? And how much does that inspire you to keep going?
Yeah, no, I'm in contact with especially PK very regularly, and even Sam whenever he was home over the summer there, chatting to him about his experiences and everything, even on loaning at Chelsea and stuff. And it's similar to Fleetwood, but obviously their academies and stuff are a bit more different and a bit better than mine now. But it's all the same game, do you know what I mean? And the way they talk and things are telling me, I can relate to. But obviously they've been away on that international break there, and everybody's pushing to get into the first team, no matter what club or country you play for. And even PK was up with Northern Ireland's first team in a camp over the summer and stuff there as well. So he's been in front of the gaffer, And I think he did quite well, and he's happy with how he got on. So the gaffer knows about PK and Sam and the likes, and which is good. So like you say there, Johnny, about the last two games of the group there, you might as well give the young lads a shot, players like Brad and even a few of the younger boys coming from the 21 to have been doing well or whatever and deserve a chance. So
yeah, I mean, I was chatting to PK the night at London's testimonial, and again, he was just saying, you know, he seems to be very, very happy at West Ham. And I think he may have said that he's aiming and targeting to try and get in the West Ham first team squad at some point this season, which is kind of remarkable in itself, Jake, isn't it? You know, considering where he was, say, 12 months ago, and for PK even to be, I suppose, thinking or aiming for the first team squad now is quite a rising testament to him as well.
Yeah, no, it is, and he's worked hard for it, and he's a great player. He deserves it. You know what I mean? And it's, I'm more jealous than anything because I'm a big West Ham fan, so it's even worse for me. But no, it's great to see him, and I would love to see him in the Clara and Blue. It would be ridiculous. Like,
that would be weird, wouldn't it? One of your mates actually playing for the team that you support. That would be just like pinch me moment.
Exactly. But no, like I said, he deserves it, and he's worked tremendously hard, and it's the same as any player, to be fair, who gets that far and is doing that well. And you can't get that far without working hard now. So
and who's responsible for you supporting West Ham, man?
My dad, believe it or not. Yeah, I have two brothers as well, and the whole family, we all support West Ham now. So
me, it's like a Northern Ireland West Ham supporters club.
It must be.
I mean, but West Ham had a great season last year and started really well this year as well. And, you know, if PK is in and around that first team squad, that's pretty good going, given the fact that how good a club they are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. No, I know he's trained in and around the first team, and he's been in the manager's eye line, so he has, so he's had his opportunities, and again, I think he's done well, and he's happy with how he's doing. And if he breaks through there, or even gets an appearance or two, and then he might get sent out on loan or whatever, do you know what I mean? But it's all for his own development, like you say, men's football. It's very valuable, and it's what you need. So even if he's going to out on loan to a League One club or whatever over there, it's a step in the right direction. So because it's always very difficult. Any club, to be fair, to go from academy straight into first team football at that club, especially in the Premier League, you know what I mean? So
I know, because a club like that can go and buy a 50, 40, 50 million pound player
exactly
when they want to. But I mean, Johnny, we talked about PK before in this podcast, and he's been on a few times, he hasn't got too big for his boots just yet. And I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it? We always talk about him, and he's a lovely guy, but in the last 12 months, 24 months, he's done some career, hasn't he?
He's done brilliant, and I think things are only going to get better for him. And I know David Moyes was over in Portrush there over the weekend, so I wonder how many times he was told to give PK an appearance. Even I heard Colin was even down trying to get him because of these clauses, how to get an extra few money and the extra few notes in the bank. But no, listen, I'm sure that day will come, whether it's the League Cup or whatever it may be. I'm sure he's not, as Jake said, he's not too far away, and could be one of them where we need to go out and loan maybe League One or League Two and play men's football and see where he goes from there. But he's flying, and seeing you done interview stuff there for the Northern Ireland under 21s and all now. So I don't know when we're going to have to start bowing at his feet and have to chat to his agent before we chat to him. But he said this before, he comes from a really good family and keeps his head down and stuff like that. So no, listen, I think, and we've said it before, I think there'll be nobody more proud than everyone at Corian if he ever makes a breakthrough there.
But that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned about PK and Jake's the same. You know, they're all very humble, modest guys. You know, for footballers, these young footballers, and that's a credit, I think, Jake, to the likes of you and PK and Sam. You are all very grounded, very humble, hard working, and given all that, that's why you all have good careers in the game.
I appreciate that, thank you. But No, first and foremost, you've got to be a good person. Do you know what I mean? But once you cross the white line, you can change and be as horrible as you like. But now off the pitch, there's no need to not be a good person. And like you say, keeping your feet on the ground and remaining humble. It's don't get me wrong. There's nothing I need to be big for my boots about. I haven't made it in the career at all. You can look at players like PK and Sam and stuff, and they've gone a bit further than me. And but like I said, they haven't quite made it yet. Well, once until they've made a couple hundred appearances or so wherever they are, maybe they can start to think I'm the big guy I am. But maybe not PK. He's never allowed to think it. He's still just PK from Port Stewart. But no, they're all good lads, and I think especially coming from a place like down here and in and around the Triangle area, Port Stewart, Limavady, wherever they're from, and even Northern Ireland just as a country, it's just how we are. Do you know what I mean? So.
Just as my ma always said, keep your feet in the ground. That was always one thing that she said. But listen, from your point of view, we started the podcast by saying you just want to get a run of games, and I mean, it's unfortunate for you too, because I think primarily you're a right back. I think I'm right in saying, we just happen to have, Lyndon Kane at right back. He's just celebrating his testimonial 10 years here. I mean, you might have picked a better position, Jake, than right back.
I know you like to think so, but no, unfortunately that's just how it's fallen. But no, Lennon's a good player, and I know what he's about, and he's a good lad. But at the end of the day, you want to be playing, and football's a game, so there's no friends in football, unfortunately. But because I know if it was all the way around, he'd be looking to take my shirt. So,
But that's the way it should be, because that just com healthy competition raises the bar and drives everybody on, regardless, isn't it?
yes, exactly. And that's what it's about. And that's what you want in your squad. You want co competition for shirts. You don't want the same 11 every week and boys happy enough just to sit on the bench or whatever. Everybody wants to be playing, and you want your players fighting for a spot in the starting 11. So.
And of course, Lyndon in much sort of recent times has been sort of maybe doing more of a midfield role as well. And if he continues in the midfield role, then that opens up a wee possibility at right back, doesn't it?
Exactly, it does now. But no, we'll just have to wait and see what happens, and maybe it'll be in there soon enough, fingers crossed.
And of course, coming up, Glentoran, your former club coming up, they're going to be visitors to the showgrounds. Do you know many of them up there still, or has a lot of them changed since your time there?
Full from before, whenever I went over across the water, it's changed drastically. And I was actually chatting to Big Mitch. He was obviously at the club, the Glens, whenever I was there before. I made the move across. But no, there's not too familiar faces up there still. However, I would know a fair few of them, especially the young lads coming through, like Aaron Whiteman and stuff, because he was in my Glentoran team from before I went across the water. So I would know a few of them, even some of the staff and stuff that are still there as well. So, but no, I enjoyed my time at Glentoran, but I'm a Corian player now, so.
Yeah, and as we said, you just want to get some sort of game time. I know it hasn't been easy for you, but you're only in a couple of months, but have you enjoyed your time here so far, or has it just been that too much frustrating that you can't really enjoy it?
No, it's still been very enjoyable, especially pre-season and everything, like you say, because I think the fact I was having a good run of games and playing well, that helps gain a lot of confidence and stuff like that. Because being at Fleetwood and coming this with one thing coming home, I wanted to do was just get back to enjoying it, big time, and the way I used to, because very stop start over there, and it's very draining, being away from your family and everything. It wasn't easy, but no, being home, playing football on my doorstep, seeing my family or whatever, it's brilliant. So you can't complain too much. So obviously you want to be playing week in, week out, but that's down to me and working hard. So.
Yeah, and it's about getting your chance, and when you get your chance, you take it. And games such as Glentoran, I think it's a Friday night game as well. Under the lights, going to be a big crowd. Those are the kind of games, and the reason why you sort of came back and joined Corian too, I would imagine, because as somebody who would have wanted to watch games yourself, you know what it's like to be standing on terraces on a big game, but to be actually part of it, and hopefully from your point of view, playing in it. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what it's all about.
No, that's what every footballer wants, and even as a fan, they're the best nights as a fan in my point in my opinion. Sorry, so no, it'll definitely be a good game and one to look forward to now. So.
And the other upside of it as well, your family can go and see you now as well. I think I've seen some of them at one of the most recent games there, and I guess they now start go to all the Korean games because of you.
Yeah, it's brilliant to have them in the crowd and watching on. Obviously, it's a bit more difficult with being over in England and all, but no, even whenever I was at Glentoran from a young age, they would always do everything they could to make sure I got to all the games and training sessions and come up and watch me now. So no, I'm very thankful for all they do for me, and hopefully I can repay them one day.
Yeah, well, here we wish you very well, Johnny. Just we'll wrap this up, but just one of our Irish League stories that kind of is out at the moment, and that's Gary Hamilton, and sort of Glenavon future, etc. We're recording this at a time when there's still speculation, but I mean, I guess don't know the ins and outs, but that's football, isn't it? We've talked to Jake about football and the ups and downs, and from managerial point of view, that's football too. You get a run, and sometimes your time just comes to an end, doesn't it?
Yeah, it'll be if it is true, and obviously by the time this podcast is out, it'll definitely be true, and they can maybe have a replacement number then. But I think whenever you play Glenavon, it'll be very, very weird not seeing Gary Hamilton on the touchline. And from an outsider's point of view, I think he's done fantastically well there. I think I actually spoke to James Singleton for the paper the other week, and the squad that Glenavon would have had if everyone had stayed, him, Mark Sykes, Bobby Burns, Big Fitzy, Reece Marshall, Josh Daniels, like the team they have now would probably win the league, and they've lost that, the Johnny Tuffey, Daniel Armour, like the list literally goes on. And it's just one of them things where, they've just probably been not the victims of own success, but they've just lost players over across the water, and that's just the way football is. And to be fair to Gary, he's always given young players a chance, and it's probably got the stage where Glenavon too. They're probably struggling now to break into the top six. They probably would have still have ambitions of being maybe fifth or sixth in the league, because of obviously the club success they had in Europe, and they're obviously just finding it tough to reach that. And whether or not they feel like a fresh challenge is what they need, it's just hard to speculate, but I always think the guy's done a great job. Probably his recent record in the cups at home has probably let him down. I think Derby beat them in the cup one year. I think Loch Gall beat them in the Irish Cup one year as well. And somebody else, I think, knocked them out. I think Will Wilders knocked them out last year. So probably his cup record probably isn't ideal, especially if you're not going to finish in the top six. But listen, I think he's done a great job there. And if it is true, whoever comes in has a tough job in their hands. They do what he's done.
Yeah, I think it just underlines again the debate that we always have about the full-time investment teams and the part-time teams, and just it seems to be the gap appears to be growing. You have your top teams, and then you have like say Glenavon, who you say have sold players to other full-time clubs. It gets more and more difficult, doesn't
Yeah,
it? And
like for example, like they lost Fitzy in Linfield, and I think the only strikers I think they brought in was a couple of guys from Middlesbrough football. So doing that as well, it just makes things ever so difficult. And yeah, no, I genuinely do think he's done a great job. I think they've always given the top six games a really run for the money, and against the fellow bottom six sides is probably where they've let themselves down. And Adrian Tier, the chairman, Gary has always said he's been like a second dad to him. And I know he's stepping down at the end of the season. So whether or not that has had any inkling to do with things, or you'll never know. And but as I said, by the time this podcast is out, we probably will know. So, but no, my own opinion is I think Gary's done a great job, and it'll be weird not seeing him in the touchline if it's true.
Maybe Corinne likes to beat
Well,
Glenavon
that's the also thing too. We haven't beat them in about 5 decades. So,
now.
Maybe Gary was the main man behind that bad run for us against them. So, but no, listen, I think whoever comes in there, it's probably a sleeping giant who I always think. I think they have great facilities there, great pitch, and things too. Again, it probably comes down to a bit of money as well. I think their crowds probably just haven't been as great in recent years either. So, but whatever happens, whether it's Gary there or somebody else is in there, they've definitely got there's definitely potential there at Glenavon. I think Ballymena too. I think the M2 will probably be, if there is a debut investment, I think the M2 would be probably a good shoot as well. So, and obviously Cliftonville. So, No, listen, strange time. So I wouldn't have thought Gary Hamill would have been the first casualty, managerial casualty, if it was to happen. So, no, it'd be weird. He's been there, what, 12 years? So must be one of the longest in the league alongside, obviously, Baxter and Kearney.
I know. Just that's football, though, isn't it? Everybody has a shelf life. And
yeah, no, 100%. And maybe Glenavon just feel that the time's right to part ways and maybe freshen things up. And obviously with Adrian Tier obviously going as well, end of season, maybe a new chairman and manager and sort of bond. So listen, we just don't know. By the time we record next, Gary Hamill could have signed a new 3-year deal as Glenavon manager to stay. You know, we just don't know. And we're just going off speculation, but I think he's done a great job, to be honest.
Yeah, I think just shows the vagaries of sport and football in particular. And Jake, just to wrap up, you know, what's happened to Gary Hamilton and football, it just shows that the harsh nature of the game, doesn't it? That you know all about, even though you're only 19, you've come through an awful lot. And thankfully, and hopefully, you're still smiling from it, which is a great thing.
Yeah, no, football's harsh on everybody. It's not a nice game to anybody, but unless you're doing extremely well, and then you can maybe take a step back and relax. But no, it is harsh, and it's not great to everybody. But like Johnny was touching on, he's done a great job, and he's something to be proud of there. So
absolutely, and if he does go, I don't think it'll be the last we'll have seen of Gary Hamilton either. I think any club would probably be quite happy to have him in and around their club as well. So, well, here, guys, we'll wrap it up there. We've had a good hour's chat there. Jake, as I said at the start, thanks for coming on. I just hope and pray that you get a clear run at things now. You've had more than your fair share of bad luck, so I'm hoping you get a wee sort of clear run at it, get a wee run out in the team, and then it's up to you. Then you can nail down a wee sort of starting place and have a good season. I mean, that's the number one priority, isn't it, Jake? Get in the team and stay there.
Exactly. No, thank you. And thank you for having me on today as well. I appreciate that. So
you're very, very welcome. Enjoy the rest of your day. Johnny, enjoy you the rest of your day. I think you're off to work now.
Yeah, 11 o'clock here, and then finish this week off and then head on holiday. So that's why we're recording the podcast a week earlier. So yeah, looking forward to getting away. I miss the Glens away, to be fair. But I'm sure I'll be not too far away, keeping an eye out, and hopefully get a good result. Otherwise, the cruise ship will be here with my tantrum and my bad temper, you know. There could be a wife thrown overboard.
There'll be nobody safe on that cruise.
If my wife tells me it's only a game of football one more time, I think she's going to go overboard. So she's been warned.
Woman overboard. Ah, well, she's been well warned. I'm sure she's used to it by now, isn't she? God bless her.
She doesn't understand how I can get frustrated with Corian because I'm not a footballer. So she hasn't really sort of, I don't think she gets it yet. God love her. But fair enough. Fair enough.
That's the way it goes. Well, here, guys, thank you both very, very much. Thank you to everybody who continues to listen to the podcast. We always appreciate the feedback, good or bad. And also thanks to our sponsors, The Lodge Hotel. And remember, Christmas Day, I think, sold out. But Boxing Day, why not treat yourself to a carvery and let somebody else do the cooking the day after Christmas? I know that's maybe where I'll go. So thank you all again once very much. And we will speak to you again. And in the meantime, come on, the Bandsiders.